You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Good to be with you and with our listeners out there, wherever they are.
We'll kick off our show with a question from the Netherlands. Willem asks, does Mr. Hoy know the real reason why Nixon ditched Bretton Woods? Explain, Bob, what Bretton Woods was, when it happened, and what it did.
Yeah, well, Bretton Woods was in 1944, and the world was in turmoil with the war in Europe. And there was no war in Canada and the U.S. But anyways, some financial stability was sought, a special agreement, and gold was going to be fixed at $35 an ounce. No, actually, that was $35. No, it was going to be defended. But as the $35 an ounce goes back to Franklin Delano, President Roosevelt, and you had the Great Depression following 1929, naturally, and he felt that he had to do something about it. So, of course, what were the economists telling him? Depreciate, depreciate, issue debt, currency, everything else. So eventually, all this currency depreciation issuance, yeah, credit and currency issuance, became intolerable in Europe and France particularly. So they started calling delivery of the gold that they had on reserve in the United States, and perfect right to do that. But then they were losing gold, and the dollar was getting weak, and you had Vietnam and all kinds of things going on. So the currency depreciation was just dreadful, and eventually the $35 couldn't hold, and then it's gone up to over 4,000 today. So gold's history is fascinating because it's the history of the foibles of government on one side and the ordinary public on the other side wanting not to be screwed. So and then we're up to over $4,000 in gold. And we might as well put it in here. Gold, the action in gold and silver is now up to extraordinary dynamics. The sentiment is very positive, and the price action is very toppy. So we can get, let's call it an intermediate correction. Once these things roll over, you got to take watch for the first break, and then how the rebound out of that goes. But I think the action is absolutely wild, and there's only one place that it can go afterwards, and that's down. And I think it'll be a noticeable down.
So I guess basically the question is, was it a good move by Nixon to get rid of the $35 limit on gold?
Well, it was Vietnam. It was everything there, and they were losing so much gold out of the treasury that then all the financial storm happened. So it's a very lengthy subject. And let's leave it now. It's covered enough of it.
Okay. Our next set of questions comes from Michael. Hello, Bob and Jim. Financial news outlets this week have reported that Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan said it's semi-rational to hold gold in your portfolio. Bob, I'm confused. Is he saying that one would be half crazy to buy at these levels or half crazy to sell, or does semi-rational mean hold for the long term?
That is just wonderful. Half crazy to buy or half crazy to sell. I think I'll make a note of that one and use it with full credit, of course. Yeah. Yeah, it's wild. But I love the phrasing on the first paragraph.
So are we going to ask that very same question, Bob. We're kind of, is it too late to get into gold mania? Should I hold on for a pullback?
No, it is spiking straight up. I'll repeat, straight up, from which it'll get a hell of a hit. Mm-hmm. So don't think about buying gold at these levels or silver.
Former Fed Chair Greenspan talked about irrational exuberance. Bob, would you say that the markets today are rationally exuberant or irrationally exuberant?
Again, another outstanding one.
Yeah,
that was, I had to look it up. That was December, 89, anyways, it was a way back when. And, the stock market was really very strong. And then I think Greenspan was at a luncheon with other Treasury people and big names and stuff. And the discussion went around that the hot action really could be irrational exuberance. And but it went on through to December and beyond. So it was a very good phrase, and it had a short life, but we look back on it fondly.
Another question for Bob from Michael. In a market sell-off, say 50% in the S&P, gold has traditionally fallen about 20 to 25% in the intermediate term, and then rockets to new highs after that. What do you see for gold this time around, and would you add to gold positions after a 20% pullback?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't. I don't know about this 50% sell-off in the S&P about gold. No, the financial markets are completing and the greatest bubble in history. And by financial markets, it's stocks, bonds, particularly low-grade bonds, everything, the everything bubble. Real estate's already peaked and has rolled over, but it's been the everything bubble, and following the everything bubble, everything's going to go down. So you can't be selective and find an area. But, and again, I'm going to repeat, gold's real price goes up in the disaster, but because general stock prices are so weak, they at times pull down the gold stocks. So, yes, there's a haven in gold, but not at the moment. It's too high priced. But one of the things we watch closely is the action in silver. And silver has it. The silver bugs do all their supply-demand analysis, and every year there's more silver consumed than mined. So the silver bugs then are bullish all of the time, but they seem not to have taken a study of silver as the financial item. And silver goes up relative to gold in a boom, and in the bust. Oh, sorry. In a bust, silver falls relative to gold. And so this is where we're watching silver, the nominal price, as well as the gold-silver ratio, and it will tell us whether, you know, as sure, the markets are going to get hit, but the trick is when, and the silver and the gold-silver ratio is usually pretty good at anticipating things, so we're watching it very closely, and we'll keep our listeners posted.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Headline from YouTube: copper wire theft becomes growing trend impacting U.S. landlines.
Oh, yeah, that is a very good way of saying that the copper's real price is high. Sure, earlier in the year we had copper up to $5.35, and that was a record high. But it also important is the real price. So when people are stealing wires to get the copper, it is very high price. Now, one of the things that's missing is that at previous highs, some of the crazies who were stealing wires neglected to check as to whether the circuit was live or not. And a number of them did get electrocuted, fried in the act, so to speak. So we haven't seen any of that yet, but we're watching for it.
But I do remember covering those stories, Bob, in the greater Vancouver area. Yes, people going into hydro facilities and, getting zapped.
Yeah, they got into substations and fried themselves. Yeah,
and kilometers of electrical line just disappearing overnight. Now, the provincial government could end this if you had to provide photo ID every time you handed in metal. And but the thing is, they have it. They said it's up to each municipality to pass a bylaw requiring that. So some municipalities have become centers of crime just because they don't have that bylaw. But right there, you could stop that theft.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's really obvious, because when I was covering a story about stolen metal, for example, we lost an entire fence for my condo. It was taken. And I go to the scrapyard, and there were ladders there marked property of BC Tel. I'm going, that isn't that stolen? Well, we don't know. Anyway. The next headline from Zero Hedge: BlackRock, NVIDIA, XAI, Microsoft form investment consortium in $40 billion data center takeover.
Yeah. The key on this one is the data centers. They need the space to put in the equipment. And I just take it as an example of extreme in the AI thing. Well, let's put it this way: high tech. And in 1929, the high tech was Radio Corporation of America. And in 1873, crazy bubble, it was Western Union Telegraph. So you've had these, the high-tech portion of a great bubble before. So, yeah.
And in 2000, we had the dot-com bubble.
We had the dot-com bubble, yes.
Anything that had dot-com on it. So now that's AI, isn't it? And people are treating AI like every one of these investments is going to be a winner. And as we know from the automotive business, that there used to be hundreds of companies that made cars at the start, and now we're down to, what, 7 or 8 major car makers?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's why they was originally called General Motors.
Yeah.
Because the promoter guy by the name of DuPont put together a whole bunch of little producers, and it became General Motors. Yeah.
Headline, Doge says $5.8 billion saved from 100 terminated federal contracts.
Yeah, this is the part of the Trump-Musk program to reduce absurd government activities. You know, they got, you know, $10 billion going to South Africa to instruct on sex changes and stuff like that. So there's really weird stuff going on in many government agencies and financing programs. And that's where this Doge, D-O-G-E, is getting into that, publishing it, and the administration is working to shut it all down. It's absolutely absurd.
Just announced, Nestle, the world's biggest food processing company, says it's laying off 16,000 people worldwide. Scotiabank says it's going to be laying off people in Canada. Bob, my question is, these major corporations, is it smart to downsize now, or will they cause a recession because of their downsizing now?
No, the recession follows the bubble.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what the buzz item is on the bubble. The bubble's over, and everything comes down.
With this growth in AI, of course, the whole idea of AI is to get rid of human workers. Who are going to buy the products produced by AI if people don't have any money to buy it?
I don't know.
Have they thought that far?
I can see any AI out there, but I can't see any. So.
Well, yeah, it's all in some electronic box in Alberta or Texas where there's lots of energy.
Yeah.
But I just wonder, Bob, okay, you've laid off all these people. Who are going to buy these wonderful products that AI is making? Other AIs?
You got a good one there, Jim.
Yeah. Now, from the Telegraph, crowds in St. Petersburg sing about overthrowing Putin.
Yes. Yes, that one is a fascinating one that they're having enough. I had enough of Putin. And a few years ago, I looked back and discovered a speech that he made in 2005. And I re-looked it up recently just to make sure. And the speech was pointed out that the worst thing that happened in the last 100 years was that the USSR, the former Soviet Union, had failed. I mean, in the last 100 years, you've had countries fail. You had the big bubble, the crash, the depression, the war. But to his mind, the worst thing was that the USSR had fallen apart. And then, 4 years ago, he thought that he could go in and get Kiev within a couple of weeks, and then that would give him Ukraine. And we're going to do a chart on the price of crude oil since 2012 when Putin went into Chechnya, and with the aggressive moves by Putin, and each of them occurred with a high crude oil price. He needs to have high crude oil prices to fund his aggression. So then even 3 years ago on when he went into Ukraine, crude oil popped up quite sharply was rising at that time. Hey, maybe it was a seasonal move. Anyways, that's what launched this latest incursion. And the casualties in the Ukraine offensive is absolutely horrendous. And the Trump administration is doing what they can do to try and end it. Same with the Brits who are trying to help out as well. And so Putin with money is a disaster for everybody else. So what we all want to watch, now Kudal got whacked the other day, and Kudal can maybe sell off on this move into January, and if it gets down to really significant lows, that means Putin doesn't have money for his aggression and belligerence. So let's all hope for extreme lows in, oh, let's call them dismal lows in crude oil. That would be very good.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, Jim, to be good with you. It's good to be with you and our listeners, and we'll look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. We'll be back next week.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.